Okay, so I want to share with you my top 10 tips for improving kavana in tefillah, for improving our connection to tefillah, for improving our focus while we daven. It may take us a day or two to discuss this, but this is so important to me. I think it's very, very practical. But I need to give some words of introduction, and that is the most important factor in tefillah is kavana. And unfortunately, in many places, this is not to speak negatively about certain shuls or certain locations, but in many places, tefillah is something that we do just because we're Jewish, right? You're a firm Jew, so you daven 3 times a day, and you just kind of get it over with, right? I'll daven now just to get it over with. We'll rush through davening. I was once at a shul, and there was somebody who was in Avel who wanted to lead the minyan for Marv of Motzei Shabbos, and this Avel was a little bit more, let's just say, externally, a little more religious than the community he was dominating. And he said, and he asked if he could daven. He said, "But just listen, a Motzei Shabbos, we like to daven Marv very, very quickly." So it's like, okay, they're not davening here. Like, what are you gaining through quickly? Like, you daven Marv, however long it takes. You say the words, you have kavanah. We just do it quickly, just so Shabbos ends, and you daven however long it takes to daven, right? So it is very, very important that we recognize the importance of kavanah. I want to talk about that for a minute or two. There was a great rabbi who was the rabbi of the Ramban, one of our greatest Torah leaders, and this rabbi was his rabbi, so a pretty important person. And he said the following, I'll read it in English, and he read it in Hebrew. V'ikar nisayon ha'adam b'chol yom, the main challenge of an individual every day, he kavana satvila. So he says, the main challenge for an individual every single day is having kavana satvila. Now, for some of us, the first challenge is actually getting to davening. Okay, that's number one. And maybe believing in davening, which we'll talk about. But once the person's at that level, hopefully we'll all be there very, very soon. Once we're at a level where we're actually in shul davening, the main challenge for a person when they're standing in davening is to actually have focus. Now, who cares? I open up a sitter, I read the words. Some I go a little bit quicker, some a little slower, but I just read all the words. Who cares? As long as I'm standing there and I'm reading the words, who cares if I don't have kavana? I once asked my Rebbe, who now is in his 70s, and I asked him, I said, a couple years ago, I said, how do you work on your kavana and tefillah?
Okay.
So first of all, he's in his mid-70s, and he said he's still working on it. This is a big rabbi, very important person. He's still working on it. And he gave me a couple of tips. But the idea is that working on kavana and tefillah is not just a one-time thing where you get in your shana aleph and you're good to go. It is a constant work every single day to recognize there are 3 opportunities to talk directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the context of tefillah. Obviously, we could talk to Hashem throughout the day, and we should talk to Hashem throughout the day. But 3 times, the Chazal tells us we have to talk to Hashem. And the main issue is kavana. And truthfully, the Rambam himself says that any tefillah that doesn't have kavana is not tefillah.
Oh.
Now the Rambam is not some Kabbalist. The Rambam is halacha. He says, "Kol tefillah she'ina b'kavana, ina tefillah." Any tefillah you don't have kavana, so that means we have to think carefully. When we're rushing through davening, and I'm talking to myself here, when I'm rushing through davening, according to the Rambam, that's not tefillah. Oh, maybe I said all the words. No, that's not called tefillah. A person needs to focus. What does the word even kavana mean? What does lechavein mean? The verb lechavein. Yeah, we say focus. It really means to direct yourself, right? A kivun is a direction in Hebrew. It's a direction. You're directing yourself. So we're focusing on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The idea is supposed to take you a certain path.
It's a kaf, not
kuf. It's a kaf. Yeah, exactly. Okay. There are those who say, I'll read this also, the Chovos HaLevavo says, that, Im ha'adam mispalel, if a person davens, rak bilashono, just with your lips, vilibo meharher ba'oso shah, but your heart, at the time when you're davening, is thinking about, b'inyanim acherim, so I am saying the words, but I'm thinking about the great lunch we're going to have today. I'm thinking about my basketball game tonight, which will be after Mishmar. I'm thinking about a lot of other things. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, Higuf b'li neshama. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, a person who says words of tefillah, but his heart is not in that tefillah. It's like a body without a soul. It's like a klipa. It's like a covering. Bli pri, without the fruit inside. That's what it is. You are physically saying the words, but there's no heart. There's no kavana in that tefillah. Says the Chol Savos, that's not a tefillah. That's not a tefillah. That's like a body without a soul. Obviously, as we know, you can't have a body without a soul. You're missing the main part. Missing the main part. Fascinating. Just sharing a lot of sources just to highlight this idea. Hopefully this will inspire all of us to make sure we have proper kavana. Says Rabbeinu Bechai. Rabbeinu Bechai is one of our greatest mefarshim on the Torah. And he says as follows. Im ispala v'lo kivinis libo. If you daven without kavana, elashu mechashev behavle azman b'schora. So you're thinking about your business. V'kaspo v'zavo. You're thinking about your silver, your gold. I mean, you're thinking about everything but davening. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, he needs a chote. Wow, he takes it to the next level. He says, not only is it a guf without a neshama, says Rabbeinu Bechai, you're a sinner. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, this is in a couple weeks ago, in Parshas Yisro, we're not allowed to do the following. Lo sasuniti, don't make for me or with me, Elohei chasev Elohei zahav. We're not allowed to make idols. You can make idols of worship. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, Klomar, Kishatem iti, when you're with me, Ve'omdim b'tfilah lefanai, and you're standing before me in tefillah, Al tachshavu b'kasev zav asherim lachem. Don't think about the gold and silver that you have. Kemispalel ha'oseh zos, if you do that, mitznaker b'machshavato el ha'melach Hashem yizbarach. It's actually a fascinating reading of that pasuk. I'll read it again. Lo sasuniti, this is one of the Sarnes Dibros. Lo sasuniti, Eloich, or is this after the Sarnes Lo sasuniti, Eloi chasev, Elohi zahav. You know what that means? Not don't make for me idols. Another way to read it. Lo sasun, don't make, et. When you're with me, don't make, when you're with me, Eloi chasev. I mean, don't think of your gods of silver, your gods of... No, that's before. It's like, don't make these things. Meaning when we're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't be thinking about your lunch, don't be thinking about your business. As we said in the past, there are two main kavanas a person has in davening. One is what's called perush hamilim. One is understanding the words they're saying. If a person doesn't understand every single word they're saying, a person's wasting his time. What are you saying the words for? I don't really mean that you're wasting your time. Yes, you should daven anyways. But you should be working to understand every single word. What does Baruch mean? What does Atam mean? What does Hashem mean? One is perush hamilim. But second, and this is even more critical and more fundamental, that is, I'm standing before God. So when a person stands in tefillah, in the main part of tefillah, as we've discussed, right, it's like a pyramid. The pinnacle is Shemoneh Esrei. We're building up towards Shemoneh Esrei, and then we come back and down into this world. We're standing up in Shemoneh Esrei. A person needs to not only understand what he's saying, but understand that he's standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, like we just said, if you are standing before God, and you're thinking about lunch, so it's like you're serving an idol. And when you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't be thinking about other things. Don't be thinking about other people. And there are those that say that tefillah is compared to an arrow. Tefillah is compared to an arrow. We read this beautiful Gur Arye. The Gur Arye was the Maharal. Maharal is a beautiful pshat here. He says as follows. He says that Chachma is called a Cherev, but tefillah is called a Keshet. Right? Keshet is a... It's like an arrow. So it's like this. Depending on how far you pull back your arrow, the bow, that's how far the arrow is going to go. Okay? Meaning, the more kavana you have, the far your tefillah is going to go. But if you don't pull back the bow at all, where is the arrow going to go? It's going to go nowhere. So the tefillah, the kavana you have in your tefillah, that's the bow. You're pulling it back. Here's my kavana. Boom. Now I feel it can have an effect in the upper world. But if a person has no kavana, so your tefillah is not going to have any impact. Tefillah is not going to have any impact. Every single day we say in Ashrei, Karov Hashem v'chol korav. God is close to everybody who calls out to Him. But when is Hashem close to us? Karov Hashem v'chol korav, v'chol asher yikra'u ve'emes. Only to a person who calls out in truth. Now this is a very important pasuk, because this means that Hashem is guaranteeing. Karov Hashem l'chor korav. God will be close to you to call out to Him. If you need something, He will listen. But only if you do what? Karov Hashem l'chol karov, l'chol asher yikru be'emes. What does it mean in truth? Says the Radak. Says the Radak, one of the Farshim on Betehillim. Says like this. Sheyu piv v'libo shavim. Your mouth and your heart have to be equal. That means, don't just say the words, but feel the words. Don't just say the words, have kavana in the words. So a person might say, one second, I've been davening for many years, and I read this pasuk and it says Hashem's close to everybody. Why hasn't he answered my tefillah? Well, you know why? Because you haven't done it. Be'emes. What does be'emes mean? Says Radak, it means that your mouth and your heart are equal. That means that I'm focused with what I'm saying, and my heart is behind what I am saying. So it's critical. One second, it's critical that we have this come on mind. Yes, quick question.
What voice is more important? Like, for me, if you know what I have, like, I don't say everything just because, like, I guess I never said it before, and like,
it's going to
take longer to try and learn.
Yes, tov ma'at b'kavana. It's better to have, yes. It's better. It will get to that practical tip.
Kavana, like,
sure, 100%. 100%. 100%.
It is better
to skip parts of davening in order to increase your kavana in certain parts. Obviously, the goal is to eventually get to everything. But better to say, Baruch Shamar, Ashe Nishtava, with a lot of kavana, than to run through the whole thing. Now, the goal is not to end there. The goal is eventually to say everything with Kavana. But to slowly do that, especially in Shwan Esrei, same thing. There are 19 brachos in Shwan Esrei. Is a person going to have Kavana for all 19 today? No. So you know what you do? You spend a month, 2 months, 3 months, just on the first bracha. The rest you'll say quickly. But spend the next 3 months focused on the first bracha.
But you have to know what it means to have Kavana, right?
100%. When I say spend time, I don't mean just in tefillah itself. I mean outside of your davening. Writing notes, looking up things, trying to understand it. You spend 3 months, then you spend. And imagine you do that. And then eventually you can have kavana for all 19 brachos. But it takes time, for sure it takes time. One or two more points, then we'll get into the practical tips. As the Gemara tells us, that's the Gemara here, in brachos. Gemara says in brachos on 32b, that there's one gate in Shemayim that is still open. One gate in Shemayim that's still open. And that's the gate of, well, within Tefillah. It's like this. Amar Blazar, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash. This is crazy. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 2,000 years ago, Nin Alu Sha'arei Tefillah. The gates of Tefillah were locked. So if you finish that Gemara right there, you're like, okay, so why are we dabbing? Right, the past 2,000 years, the gates of Tefillah are locked. So why are we dabbing? Says the Gemara, the Afalpi, very inspirational Gemara. The Afalpi Shashari Tefillah Ninalu, even though it's true the gates of Tefillah have been locked, Shari Dima Lo Ninalu, the gates of tears have not been locked. That's what the Gemara says. So it sounds like in order for a person to have his Tefillah's answer, you have to cry. Now, I think it's very rare for a person to actually cry in their prayers. What are we saying? Meaning nowadays, a person's Tefillah is not going to be answered, most people aren't crying in their davening. So the truth is, the word bechi, which means to cry, bet, chaf, yud, is the same gematria as the word leave, 32. Which means the Gemara is telling us here, is that true? If a person wants to cry, that's obviously a higher level. But if you put your heart into the tefillah, that has the same impact. Which means the gate of true tefillah with kavana, with your heart, that hasn't been locked. But what do we see here? We see that the only way your tefillah is going to be answered is if you have your heart involved. Is if you have the kavanah involved. If a person just rushes through the words, it's silly. It's actually just, last thing, I know, was at the Gemara and in the auditorium, so one of the Rebbeim there, we're talking about whoever's going to lead up, Marv, they're talking about going fast, going slow. So he said, he heard, not a joke, but he said he heard that when a person goes to Shemayim, so Hashem is going to start talking to you, and Hashem's going to start like babbling. He's going to go like, So you're going to say, I don't know what you're saying, Hashem. He's like, yeah, well, that's what you spoke to me for 120 years. So that's what I'll talk to you right now.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh. So, yeah, it's real. Like, a person needs to daven and daven with kavana. And that's why it's so important. Yeah, question.
It's not always like the case, though. People at davening, whatever, like, not the
having your tefillah answered is not an indication you had a good tefillah. Hashem could say no.
Also, your tefillahs are always answered.
Like,
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe,
exactly. Tefillah's always heard. But the question is, the impact. And also, even if first of all knows an answer, but also you don't know, Ethan. I mean, they say this, you know, your tefillah right today, Ethan, might be a no right now. But that tefillah might be placed. That tefillah might be placed. That tefillah might be placed on the side, and that in 100 years, you know, your great grandchild might need something, and Hashem might be able to pull that tefillah that you had right now, pull for your great grandchild. We never ever know. We never ever know. What? Sure, 100%. Tefillah never goes unanswered. What does it mean unanswered? Hashem says no right now. It doesn't mean exactly what you wanted. And like we said even last week, the main point of tefillah really is not getting your things answered, but the connection you have with Hashem, recognizing that. Okay, here we go. Our top 10 tips for davening with kavana. Okay, with that introduction, let's get through a couple. Let's try to understand. Okay, here we go. First tip. Okay, and that's as well. Hey, listen carefully. Okay, that's as well.
It's like your sister's asking.
I'm still up there.
It's hard to understand.
Your sister's gonna ask a question. Don't ask.
Okay, here we go.
Are we gonna do it again?
See for the back.
Okay, here we go. Number one. And that is, this is before you come into Dabra.
Bro, did this guy Ali Bench go up for the Chabra?
It was amazing. It was so much fun.
Okay? Here we go.
Ole. I'm saying figure out there.
Okay, here we go. So again, what we're doing here is 10 tips.
So flying.
10 tips to improving.
You need to go up for flying a plane.
Yeah,
it's such a common thing now.
No, overseas.
So it's a question. It's a good question. Right.
I'm saying it's common for
people. There's some who say no.
Ravid is going to do it.
You didn't go overseas to Poland.
There's some who say no. Some who say that.
You didn't go overseas to Poland.
Yeah, the Black Sea and the Mediterranean Sea.
There's some say, right, if you fly to the US, then you know, but once you're over the ocean, then I don't know that. So some say it, some don't say it, some say, yeah, listen to someone else who says, I mean. So here we go. It's like driving a car nowadays. Like, you don't say Birkas HaGomah every time you drive a car, even though there could be accidents. So it's like everything's just a safe nowadays.
So don't drive your car.
So the question. Some say yes, some say no. Like personally, I do. I mean, if I go from America to Israel, I will say.
My Rebbe told me that when I got back to the States, and I was like, was it because I went to Israel and went back to war? He's like, no, because you're flying.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Okay, here we go. Number one. These are 10 tips to improve Kavanah and Davening. Number one is, this is just in your head. You have to, right, believe in the power of Tefillah. Okay? You have to believe in the power of Tefillah. You have to believe in the power of Tefillah. Okay? Rav Kook. Okay? Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook Zatzal said that the biggest reason why people don't have Kavanah in Davening is because they don't actually believe in the power of Davening. Meaning, if I knew that today I was having a meeting, and it was a classic mashal, but listen carefully. If I knew today that I was having a meeting with the Prime Minister, I was having a meeting with the President, and I knew that my words could actually have an impact. I asked the King for something, I asked the President for something, I knew that my words could have an impact, I would obviously prepare for that meeting, I'd obviously be on time, maybe even a little bit early to the meeting, and I would take that meeting seriously. You see, if you believe in what you are doing, you take it much more seriously. Says Rav Kook, a main reason that people don't take tefillah seriously is because they don't really believe in the power of tefillah. If we really believe, imagine, if you really believe in the power of tefillah, you would daven Shmoneh Esrei for hours every single day. If you really believe that Hashem could heal people that are sick, could give you money, could give you wisdom, could give shalom, if you really believe that Hashem could bring peace to the world right now, you would daven seriously every single time we have to daven. Now, there are obviously challenges. We daven 3 times a day. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so many challenges. But the first most basic tip is we have to believe in the power of davening. We have to believe that it's real. We have to believe that the words that we say have a real impact. Now, a lot of things we've set up to this point before the trips, you know, are things hopefully that could build us up to this, to understand that tefillah is real. And tefillah does have an impact. Doesn't mean Hashem's always going to say yes. But tefillah has a real impact. You really believe that. And again, it's not just a one, you know, 1 second switch. You have to really learn about tefillah and understand that tefillah is real. Tefillah has an impact on you, on your family, on the entire world. And if you really believe that, then you have kavanah. So that's tip number one. Okay? Tip number one is to actually believe in the power of tefillah. And again, this comes way before you get to shul. This takes place during the break. This takes place at a late night, trying to really learn about tefillah and understand that tefillah is real. And tefillah has a real impact. Number one. Okay, number two. Now let's get a little more practical. A little more practical. Okay, number two. There we go. That is... Number two. Okay? And that is to... Okay, this is a crazy one. Ready for this? I would encourage everyone to try one of these today at Mincha. Try one of these tips at Mincha. Hopefully you'll see your davening change. Okay, number two.
And that is, don't look around. This is very practical. Okay, watch this.
That's why people close their eyes.
No, watch this. I'm going to challenge you to do something. Right? Don't look around, okay? Here's the challenge. See, the challenge is that davening, if you think about it, davening is a private davening within its seaboard. You understand that? Meaning you're within its seaboard, within a congregation, you're within a group of people, but it's also private. Because you're with other people, we like to look around, we see what this guy's doing, we take a walk outside, right? We like to look around what's going on. We have to realize that really we are yechidim, we're individuals, davening b'tzibur.
I have a question.
1 second. Therefore a person needs to daven. Needs to daven, not looking at anything. That's why. This is not just a nice idea. This is a halacha. Maybe you guys learned this in the afternoon, sir. No, or should we review this in the afternoon? That is halacha, so Shulchan Aruch brings down that a person should daven facing what? Facing a wall. That's a real halacha. Why? Why should you face a wall? You have much more concentration. Now, obviously in a room, not everyone can daven in front of the wall. There's only a limited amount of space on the wall. But the idea, I think, is applicable to everybody. I mean, the idea, it's a halacha. Sarich. That's all of it. You have to daven in front of a wall. Now, again, not everyone can do that. But the idea is that, why are you doing that? So that you don't get distracted. Okay? So therefore, here are a couple of tips. First of all, when it comes to Shmona Esrei, this is why many people during Shmona Esrei will close their eyes. Now, if you don't know the tefillah by heart, obviously you can't close your eyes. That's why it's good to work on your davening to a point when eventually maybe you could. Now, there are those who say, no, it's really ideal to always look in a sitter. Okay? Either way, though, whether you're closing your eyes or you're looking in a sitter, you're not looking elsewhere. Okay? I would challenge you, and telling you this will change your davening. 1 second. I'll challenge you to do two things during Mincha. Pick one. Either go to a spot in the Beis Medrash where you're facing a wall, not facing any other people. Okay, that's number one. And if you can't do that, try this. Mincha today is 15 minutes. Try, for the second you start davening, 1 o'clock until 1:15, to not pick your head up from your sitter. Try it. It's really hard. But I'm telling you, if you could just look at your sitter, don't look at the chazan, don't look at your friends, don't look at anything. Try to just look, and if you are getting bored looking at your sitter, close your eyes for a second. But try today during Mincha to just focus on your sitter or close your eyes. Don't look anywhere else. I'm telling you, you'll see your davening will be totally changed. You stand in the back of a shul, you see everything that's going on, you're so distracted. It's so easy to get distracted. So when you stand in front of a wall, or even if you're not in front of a wall, you close your eyes or you focus on your sitter, try it. I've tried it myself, I try to do this, it changes your davening. It's a real game changer. You don't get distracted. You start focusing. Why am I here? Look at who's coming in late. Look at that. You know, this guy in front of me is on his phone. You look at your sitter. You don't look around. This is what you're going to see. It's very hard. Try for 15 minutes not to look around. We always like to figure out what's going on with other people. We're very curious. Focus on your sitter. Try that.
Yeah.
But very interesting to answer. Hashem Shlila is in front of us.
Okay.
Again, like out of, we're supposed to picture that, like maybe close our eyes, whatever.
We're gonna get to that.
That is actually the next tip. We're gonna get to that. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
So you're supposed to think of a seat or our eyes closed. Let's say you're down in the cutout, like when the Eish Lahayim, like look up, like at, like.
That's also fine. That's also fine. Yeah. Looking out,
like,
also fine.
It's a specific thing you want to.
The truth is, the halacha also says that a shul should have windows. Really, some say you should have 6 and 6 for the 12 shvatim. You have windows. Why? So that if a person doesn't have kavanah, you're losing your kavanah, you can look outside, look to shemaim, and kind of like refocus. So there's an idea of looking to shemaim. That's also fine.
Actually, noticed that 6 and 6 in both.
Yeah. So you know, a lot of shuls have it also now. So. So, you know, the stained glass windows. Okay. Okay, that is number 2. Okay, I see we're not going to get
so many. That's okay. Number three. And that is, and this is very easy here in the Old City, that is to use your imagination. Okay? Use your imagination. Okay? Now, here we go. When we say that you're supposed to envision, guys, we'll finish with this one. When we say you're supposed to envision yourself standing before God, are you supposed to envision yourself standing in front of a body?
No.
Chas v'shalom, right? Hashem's not a body. Not a body.
Well,
it's a question about
that.
That's actually a question. Because there is one opinion. The Ravid, who actually. But the most accepted opinion is Hashem's not a body. So therefore, what are you supposed to think about? Hashem's not what you're supposed to think about. So, a couple of suggestions. The Mishnah Brura, the Chavetz Chaim, suggests the following. He says that you should imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Imagine yourself standing in the holiest place in the world, the Kodesh HaKodashim. Now, if anyone here has not seen a picture of what the Kodesh HaKodashim looks like, what? I'm giving a couple suggestions. Meaning, you know, it's fine. Meaning, one suggestion is if you're standing Kodesh HaKodashim. Now, if you don't know what the Kodesh HaKodashim looks like, there's a good week to do it, because this thing we're talking about the Aron, Parsos Truma. Open up an article, a Chumash. Open up any picture book. There are a lot of picture books to be passed around this week. That's actually very cool. Look at a picture of what the Kodesh HaKodashim looks like. Okay, you have the Parochas, you have the Aron, you have the Kruvim, we already know these things.
Okay?
And now imagine you stand in Shemoneh Esrei, your eyes are closed. This is before you start your Shemoneh Esrei. You get into the right zone and you think about, okay, I'm standing right now, you think in your mind. Picture it. I see the Kruvim, I see the Aron, it's the holiest place in the whole world, and here's where I'm davening. And that allows a person to focus. Okay, I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would add in that if you have a holy place in this world that you feel close to, it could be the Kotel, could be Kever Rachel, it could be, I don't know, anywhere in this world, you can imagine that also. So if for you, standing at the Kotel, something that brings you Kavana, I mean, here we have it right here, but if you're here, even in the Yeshiva, so you, even here, look outside, look at the Kotel for a moment, if that brings you into a place of connection, close your eyes, focus on it, and then go. Okay? So the idea here for the Mishnah Brura is to try to use your imagination to place yourself, even though you could be in Mexico, okay? But you put your mind in a certain location. There are those who focus on more Kabbalists, will focus a little more on letters, right? They'll try to imagine different letters of the Siddur, different letters of God, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei, different letters. Okay, that's, you know, that's right, Yid level, it's on our level, we're not there yet, okay? Finally, and then we'll finish with this, and that is, and just so you should know, all the tips we're going to talk about, try on one day, try on another day, like these aren't, you don't have to use all 10 every single day. You don't have to use any of them. These are just suggestions. I found sometimes that instead of us trying to transport ourselves to go to a certain location, imagine as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to you.
Wow.
Right? Meaning, I'm standing in Greyneck, I'm standing in wherever I'm standing, and I'm standing there in the shul, and you close your eyes, and you say, Hashem right now is coming to me. I'm not going to the Kotel, I'm not going to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hashem is literally coming to stand in front of me. Okay? These are different things you can use with our mind. But I just want to be clear here. We do these not in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you do it before Shemoneh Esrei. So before you, or you could do it either way, before you take your 3 steps back, you can stop for a second or two, and you get your mindset into the right place. I'm standing for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm at the Kotel, I'm in the house, wherever it is, I'm focused, now I can start Shemoneh Esrei. Okay? So this is tip number two, or sorry, number three, and that is use your imagination to bring yourself to a certain location that brings you to a level of kavana to really focus on Kadosh Baruch Hu. You got a question? Yes?
So if he's coming to them, what do you picture?
So again, so that's what I'm saying. It's hard. It's not the word. It's what works for you. These are all tips. What works for you. The goal is, hip and your heart are together. It means your mouth and your heart are one. So whatever is going to bring you there. Now, again, you can't picture Hashem as a body, but there's some, it's hard. Again, it's very hard. It's some, what? It's something that you like, or, yeah, something that and again, something, it's even deeper than sight. It's just this feeling. Hashem is here. Hashem is here.
I get it.
Any other questions?
It's not about the
Shemiah. No? Makes sense? Okay, good.